And we greet you in the name of the Lord. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day that God has planned for us today. I am so excited about what He is doing and what He is about to do. Everything, your whole life, all that you have been up to this time has led you to this moment. This is a special time in your life. You'll never be here again this way. This is a unique experience for us all. It's all part of God's divine design. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that Your presence is here, that we can sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, ready to do those things which are wonderful in our eyes. Present to heal, present to save, present to reveal truth. And this is our aim today, to reveal truth, to build up Your most holy people in the love of God. May we get close to You today, and may we be healed of all our afflictions. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture that I chose, I will be coming back to in the second part of the message, which is on divine healing. But divine design is something that needs to be addressed. You need to understand the uniqueness of you. You are a unique person in the universe. And I remember as a child, there were some things about my physicality and about things about, I felt they were flaws. And I used to think sometimes I got the wrong parents and the wrong brothers and that I was probably misplaced at birth. And when I looked in the mirror, I'd see things and I'd say, "Oh, Lord, why did You make me like this?" You see, when I was a little child, I had a birthmark such as the one that I have on my arm. And you've probably noticed it from time to time, a birthmark. And that one was bad enough. But when I got old enough to wear watches, over the birthmark it went. Why? Because as a child, when you have a flaw and you're different from somebody else, the other kids let you know. But this was not the worst one. I had one like that on the end of my nose. A brown chocolate mark on the end of your nose. And you can just imagine some of the cruel things that the children used to say to me about that brown spot on the end of my nose. "Oh, Grant's got a dirty face. Oh, Grant got a chocolate nose. Oh, Grant is other things." It's embarrassing when you're different from everybody else if you don't know how to deal with it and if you don't understand God's divine design for who you are. Some people are born blind. Some people are born deaf. Some people are born blind and deaf. Some people are born with freckles all over their body. Some people are born with curly hair and straight hair, and some have no hair, and some have different color, this and that and the other thing, and we just think that we're hard done by. "Oh, Lord, why did You make me like this? I do not like the way I look." Well, excuse me, but you are a unique creature in the universe. It is by divine design that you are who you are today. The fact that you were born of a specific race or a specific ethnic group or tall, short, fat, thin, able to speak well or unable to speak well, shy or outgoing, all these things. Sometimes there's just not too much else you can do about it. So you might as well like it. And you might as well think upon these things as God's unique mark on who you are. Think about that. I'm continuing with my theme on trusting God. Remember my sermon the last time, "Oh God, what are You doing?" And don't you often ask that question? Or, oh God, why is these things happening to me? Why am I afflicted with the things that I'm afflicted with? Well, look around you and see some folks that are afflicted a lot worse than you. There are people that are worse off than you. You know, they say that a hunchback gets a great deal of joy in seeing another hunchback with a bigger hump. Isn't that the truth? When we see somebody worse off than we are, we say, "Thank you, Lord, that I am as you see me. And I don't want to be anybody else but me." But I wouldn't want anybody else to be me either. So, you know, it goes two ways. Consider God's divine design in creating us. Now go to Genesis and go back there and read it. God has a plan for each of our lives. We go back to the beginning. And in Genesis, it said, "In the beginning God made." I will just go slowly through some of these verses because sometimes they're just power-packed things. Our quarterly, what a wonderful quarterly for our Sabbath school, talking about beginnings, talking about getting down to foundations. There are some foundations that we need to understand that we are important in the divine design of God. We have something to do and we have somewhere to go and we have a purpose that is Holy Spirit driven, as I have also preached. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then, further on down, he's talking about all the things that he made. And then, God said in verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Wow. We've been made special to be after God's image and after his likeness. And look what God shared with us. "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Little old man was given a lot and blessed with so much. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Oh my, think about that. How special we are in the sight of God. And he gave us something that many of us do not understand why he did it, but he gave us a free will, whether to choose him or whether not to choose him. And by doing so, by giving his creatures that option of free will, the possibility of evil came into existence. And some of God's creatures and creation have opted for that. As you well know, when you look into the newspapers and on the television and you see the absolute evil being perpetrated every day and things that make no sense and crime and all terrible things that are happening in the world today, was because a lot of his creatures have decided that they want to do it their way and they don't need God. So the free will was in God's divine design. And these creatures who will not take God's instruction and do it his way will not be part of the new heaven and the new earth, because God is merciful. And we will not have to put up with this for eternity, only for a little while down here. God has a plan for each of our lives. Go to Job chapter 10. Job chapter 10. And Job, by the way, is the oldest book in the Bible, older than Genesis. Think of that. Before Moses. Job chapter 10. If somebody's got that, why don't they read verse 8 and 9? I was going to read it, but why don't you? Somebody. Job chapter 10, verses 8 and 9.
"Thine that thou hast made me as the clay, and will thou bring me into the dust again?
Wow. Divine design. He made us purposefully. He took the time out of all that he did and went down and grabbed a hold of some of that mud and shaped a human being. He had a divine design for you and I. Now, Job was questioning him, as we often do when we have afflictions and when we're sick and when things go wrong in our life. He says, "You're destroying me, God. You're destroying me, yet you made me. You made me." And that is the puzzling thing. Why did you make me just to destroy me? We ask these questions. Also, Psalm 119, verse 73. If you find it before I do, read it. That's right. Over and over we see out of the scriptures that God made us. Amen. That is why Seventh-day Adventists make such a big deal out of the Ten Commandments. Because that number four talks about glorifying Him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all the creatures and everything that is in this world of ours is made by God, and we are part of that. We are part of His divine design, and don't you forget it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Creator. Remember the Creator in the years of thy youth. Remember what God has done, how He has brought you out of darkness into the kingdom of His marvelous light. Remember, remember, remember. Do not forget the Sabbath day. It's a special day in God's divine design that we can get together and be different from the rest of the world and be happy about it. Amen. And not be ashamed of it. And not try to hide it. Amen. Oh, I don't want them to know I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. They won't like me. Oh dear, have we ever thought that? I didn't want to be a Seventh-day Adventist because I figured people wouldn't like me. I didn't like them. I like being a Salvation Army person. People love those folks, but they don't much care for Seventh-day Adventists. But I don't care anymore. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I know why I am one. I know because we preach the truth. Amen. And it needs to be preached to the other churches. It needs to be preached to those that will listen. And that is why I call myself an evangelist, because I go everywhere talking to people about Jesus who will listen to me, and those that won't, I just go on to the next person. Don't worry about it. And don't worry. There are some things you can do about the way you look. If you have a dirty face, wash it. If you wear sloppy clothes, clean up and present yourself as a true disciple of Christ. You are an ambassador to Christ. If there's something that you can do to hide a perceived flaw, whether it is real or imagined, you do it. And make yourself presentable as a child of God. He has a plan for our lives. There are so many things that God will help us no matter what our real or imagined shortcomings are. Do you imagine that you can't speak very well? Do you Moses imagined that. And God got angry with him and finally said, "All right, all right, all right. I'll get Aaron to talk for you. Now get on with it. Stop making excuses why you can't do something." I think about blind people so much because that's my primary missionary focus. There are blind people that I know that don't even care that they're blind. They just get up and do something about it, and they produce something for God. I think of Pam. I think of Mary McKinney, the lady that draws our calendars. Can't see beyond the end of her nose with a corrective lens, and yet she draws the most beautiful pictures, and we take those out and show them to the world that the blind can do anything if they are determined, and sometimes with a little bit of encouragement, they can be great and productive members of society. Handicapped people. Talked about this in the mission story this morning, how a handicapped boy became a minister to the handicapped. You know, take your shortcoming that you perceive as a shortcoming or something that you've been afflicted with, turn it around, make it a blessing for God, and show others how they can overcome and become good, positive victorious Christians in spite of and because of the afflictions they have. No, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. God made us perfect in the beginning, Adam. But sin has marred us, scarred us. But should we not still strive to be the best that we can be? Should we not? Instead of throwing a pity party and saying, oh dear, woe is me. My father was an alcoholic. His father was an alcoholic. His grandfather was an alcoholic. It goes back for generations and generations. I guess I'm going to be an alcoholic too. I'm going to go out in the backyard, eat worms, and get drunk. That's the way some people think. They really do. They get so, you know, just pick yourself up by your bootstraps and decide that you're going to do something with your life and overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Never say it's impossible, because it is not. All things are possible to him that believeth. Those things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, how should we respond to these so-called defects? I put it down this way. A, correct them if possible. When we cannot effectively communicate God's message because of a sloppy appearance, we need to do something about it. Get a new suit. Wash your face. Brush your teeth. Floss your teeth. You're going to get in the face of somebody, and I get reminded of this, and I have to heed this, because this is good for me. It's good for you to listen and learn. Floss your teeth if you're going to get in the face of somebody. I'm taking mints today. You know, we have to do something about the things that we can change, and the things that we cannot change, we stop to worrying about it. Don't worry about the things that you can't do anything about. B, exercise the prayer of faith. You've got to learn to discern and visualize God's will and pray in harmony with that discernment. When you know the right thing to do, pray that God gives you the grace and the power to do it. For to know to do right and to do it not to you, it is sin. Faith does not twist God's arm. You ever try to twist God's arm and say, oh Lord, if you'll do this for me, well then I'll do this for you. I put the little coin devices to raise money for the blind right by the gambling places garages. You know, the service stations that sell you gas, they also sell lottery tickets right at the cash. And I put my little coin devices right there because some people will try to bribe God and throw money in it and say, no, Lord, make my ticket lucky. And I get a lot of coins in that little bucket because people like that are very superstitious. And why not throw that money in there for the blind? Amen. Faith will discern three types of sickness. It will. You exercise the power of faith and it discerns three types. There's sickness unto death. That's Psalm 90 and 10. Somebody want to get that, or I'll get it? See if you can beat me this time. Psalm 90 and verse 10. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Oh, really? Sickness unto death. There's just some day, one fine day, it'll be all over for you. You're going to get sick, and you're going to die. And that's the way it is. But we don't know when that time is. We have no idea. We have no idea. So, what there is a sickness unto chastisement. When you sin, sometimes, or when you're going the wrong road, God will touch you, slow you down. If you're overworking, becoming overtaxing your resources, you'll get sick. And that's God's way of slowing you down and getting you to listen. That's called a sickness unto chastisement. It is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 28 to 33. I want to go there. I want to read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is a sickness unto chastisement. Verse 11. Chapter 11. I hope you're still trying to beat me to these scriptures. And verse 28 to 33. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Oh, boy. When we have a communion service and we're not discerning the Lord's body, we're drinking unworthily, we have not examined ourselves, we haven't made sure that it is right with our fellow man, we haven't got our sins forgiven, we better get that stuff taken care of before we take communion and make it right with our fellow brethren. That is a sickness unto chastisement. That's one way we get sick. But then there's a third kind of sickness, which is a sickness to show God's work and to glorify Him. Now, what glory does God get out of cancer or Parkinson's disease or blindness or anything like those things? What glory does He get? He doesn't get any glory out of it. It's not the sickness that gets Him glory. It's the attitude of the person afflicted.
Yeah.
If you can accept the fact that you are blind and make the most of it, then you are a glory to God. You can show people how to deal with affliction. But there are some times when God will heal the blinded eye, open the blinded eye and heal the sickness. And that way folks see the power of God displayed and then they glorify God. Now, how do we know the difference between that kind of sickness and the other one? We don't. I don't think there's anybody here that knows the difference between one sickness or another. It has to be spiritually discerned. It has to be between you and God. You have to figure it out, and then you've got to go to God and have it dealt with. We glory in our unchangeable defects. Paul said, after seeking the Lord three times for a thorn in the flesh, it bothered him, and he didn't like it. It was uncomfortable. It made him feel terrible. He said, will you take this away from me? And God said, my grace is sufficient for you.
Yeah.
And so Paul stopped asking and said, all right, God, then I'm going to glory in my infirmities that you might be seen in me, that I might show forth a Christ-like attitude. I will accept this. And what a wonderful testimony he had. Some say he had terrible looking eyes, that he had a horrible look in his face. His eyes were distorted, that he had problem with his eyes. He was hard to look at. But oh, could he preach. And what great miracles and what great wonders and signs were done by Paul the Apostle. So he gloried in his unchangeable defects. And you make them marks of ownership to constantly remind us to whom we belong. I belong to Jesus Christ. He made me. I was lost, and He bought me back. He paid for me twice. I am special. You are special in the sight of God, regardless of your defects or the things that are different about you. That's what's good. That's what He likes.
Amen.
It's His ownership mark on you.
Yeah.
You belong to Him. Slaves and bonded servants were often marked, branded, their ears pierced, and different things to show that they belong to their master. And this is a unique thing about some slaves in the Old Testament. If they loved their master enough and he set them free, they could go to their master and say, I love you and I want to serve you the rest of my life. And they made themselves slaves for the rest of their life, even though they were given their freedom. And this is the kind of slavery that we are. We are slaves to Jesus Christ. Why? Because we love Him. I don't want to be anybody else's servant but yours, Lord.
Amen.
Mark me as one of yours. And so you look upon your affliction that you cannot get rid of, or a defect in your appearance this way. It is this, that the beautiful picture that you present is not hindered by the frame. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
The beautiful picture you want to present to the world will not be hindered by the frame, but they will only see the beautiful picture. And that's clever framing. If you put the frame on the picture just the right way, and they only see the picture, you're doing it the right way.
There
you go. So don't worry about how you look, or your race, or your stature, or your girth. And that's how fat you are or how thin you are. Don't worry about it. Do something about it if you can. But accept God's divine design. And then you make these flaws and these differences that you have a means to be a better servant. Outward beauty is often used to get others to serve us. If we are, there's a story about a lady who had a great big huge nose. And she had a wonderful personality. She had friends, and she was, would go, everybody wanted her to come to their parties and their gatherings because she was so sweet and so entertaining. They loved her. One day she was looking in the mirror and she said, "I hate my nose. I hate my nose. It's terrible. It's ugly. I'm going to go to the plastic surgeon and I'm going to get it changed so that I can look beautiful." So she did. And she looked herself in the mirror after and she says, "I'm beautiful." And she began to change her behavior until in a short while she lost all her friends and her popularity was gone because she had become vain and arrogant, and people did not like that about her, and gradually she became obnoxious. And she says, "Well," she went back to the mirror and she looked at herself. "I said, I hate myself. I wish I was the way I used to be." God wants us to be happy with the way that He has designed us and accept ourselves as part of His divine design. Now get back to sickness. There is a prescription for you. And I like that everything is falling into place as God has divinely instructed it. If you look in your bulletin, the first part, we read James 5:14, but the bulletin has it, the verse before it, and it says James 5:13, "May the Lord richly bless you today," is not the scripture, but it starts here. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms." But the prescription I'm going to talk to you about is a prescription for God's divine healing. There's a lot of people and a lot of churches that make big flashy displays of the healing ministry. They make conventions. They have music that would just drive a rock star off the stage. They are drawing attention to themselves and how wonderful they are and what wonderful gifts they have. And come to this one and get prayer cloths and we'll send you the anointed oil and we'll do this for you and we'll do that for you. But God's prescription for your healing is a simple scripture which starts this way. "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him." That's a quiet, uneventful little prescription for divine healing that any church can do and perform. If we will act upon these scriptures, God will honor our faith. Because that's His divine design. When He says something, we can believe it. When He says something, we can trust in it. We can claim it for ourselves. And so, what we do is we call for the sick to come up, any that are among us, and then we call for all the elders, whether they be in office or just the regular ordained elders who are not serving in the office, and we anoint the sick with oil, we pray for them, and God does the rest. The reason we come to church, or I have some reasons for this, the reasons we come to church are these, that is to worship God no matter what our circumstances, that's our divine design, whatever our circumstances, we come here to worship God. We come to reconcile with our fellow man and with God. If there's something in your life that needs fixing, if you've got a dispute with somebody, if you're not talking to one of your brothers and sisters, make it right. Make it right. That's why we preach and pray and live as a community in this place, to reconcile with our fellow man and with God. Number three, to be instructed in the way. Teaching and preaching and edification comes from Sabbath school. More people should come to Sabbath school. Sabbath school is a part of the ministry of this church. If you don't come to Sabbath school, am I saying it enough so that it'll go down in your... Sabbath school is the biggest and best ministry in this church. Hopefully what you're getting today is good for you too, and a little bit more. But if you miss Sabbath school, you miss a lot. It just helps you get through the week. And studying that Sabbath school lesson, oh, you'll be blessed if you do. And another reason, and this is where we're going to come to church, to be with God's people, you want to be healed. If you are sick spiritually or physically, this is the place to come. Go to the doctor, go to medicine, whatever you think you got to do. But there was a king, Asa, I believe his name was, who had a disease in his feet, and he died before he asked God to heal him. And God was waiting to be asked. He said he died of a disease in his feet, and he did not ask the Lord to heal him, so God let him die. If you've got a disease that needs healing, until it is a disease unto the death, and you don't know that, and I don't know that, God has promised to heal you. So at this time, I want to ask, is there any sick among us that would like to be healed? If they really believe what I've been saying this day, that God has divine design and He has divine formula for healing, if they would like to be healed, we do have elders here. We do have some oil here. And we'll anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise you up. And if you want to get right with God or your fellow man, you want to come and pray, ask God to straighten you out or someone else out, help you get reconciled, then that is what the altar call is for today. So if there's any sick, well, first of all, I'm going to ask that we all pray at this time and find out what God's will is for each of us this day. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You're available for us and that You've come to us this special way today. And we don't make any kind of show out of it, and we don't want any kind of glory, or we're not making any fanfare. We just believe that You quietly went amongst Your people and touched and healed and helped and encouraged. And that's what we want to do today, is to touch, that You might heal and help and encourage and build up Your people and give them a sense of being special today, knowing that they are part of God's divine design, and that Your desire is that they develop their characters and become the best that they can be. And so, Father, that is our prayer at this time, in Jesus' name. Now the invitation is open. If any of you would like to have an affliction, have something bothering you, then you're to pray. But if you have a sickness that you would like healed, then the elders will help you with that, and we'll pray. We'll all pray. Anybody like that this morning? Come. Come up. And as she's coming, we need Vince to come and any ordained elders. Any of you that are sick and want healing, this is God's divine healing formula. You just stand right here. And we're going to get the oil and we're going to pray for you. And those that are seeking healing, if you wouldn't mind kneeling. And we will pray for you. Just kneel here. Going to pray, and let's all bow our heads as we pray and ask God to heal these folks. Heavenly Father, we come according to your word and believe what you say. So we're asking for healing for these folks. Whatever they have confessed unto you, they have not told us, but you know what it is that they need. And so they're coming to you by faith. We honor that. We pray for them and we bless them with this anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. And God works just as well quietly as he does with a lot of noise.
Amen.
I believe that God honors faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Your faith has reached out to God. I believe you will receive the petitions that you have asked. In Jesus' name, amen. Now shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your divine design that you have made us the way you have made us. We make no apologies for this. In fact, we glory in these so-called defects and these thorns in the flesh that do not go away. We say your grace is sufficient for us. We thank you for each one here that has exercised their faith and believe that you have touched them. And we ask that you will continue to touch and strengthen us and empower us with the Holy Spirit from on high, that we might become more and more and more like you and your devoted apostles. We want to be like your disciples, but we want to go beyond that and reach the whole world by reaching our neighbors close at hand. All these things we ask and believe and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.